So we're going to pray for several different things, and I told you yesterday that I was going to share a little bit about our church, and what I want to share is basically just some things for us to pray for together. So I wanted to share with you basically one of the things that I've been involved with here since May. Since April, is we reformatted the faith teams that were basically composed of our young married, some of our younger families, and a group of us here at Desert End, we became a little bit more active, a little bit more missions-minded, and we had a goal of bringing some more young marrieds in, of really helping ourselves grow and be missional. And so we put together a marriage class. We put together some marriage material. We used some outlines some other people had used. And we took three different apartment complexes and flyered them for these classes, and did some door to door knocking, and some people came around a little bit, and we did these classes, and we were thinking maybe we'll have a group that has a goal of just having really strong marriages, and so we even named ourselves, called ourselves Forge. Building strong marriages. And so that was really the sort of some of the mission-minded outreach effort. Let's work on our lives and bless other people that has been going on in our church. And this group of people that is trying to be mission-minded, we had a meeting yesterday. And we just wondered, okay, now that we're going, is this what we want to do? Do we want to change things? Do we want to tweak things? Do we want to do other outreach things? What needs to happen in us for us to be a community that God's really excited about, for us to feel like we have encouragement and partners in our Christian life? We're overcoming things in our own life, and that we're mission-minded, that people are coming into that group of people. And so one of the things I want to let you guys know is, one is, you know, sometimes it's hard to figure out, you know, what is Brandon do with all his time? And one of the answers is that. So that is where a lot of my energy and a lot of our church's energy is sort of going right now. And I hadn't really said anything from here. But also because I want us to pray together and for you guys to pray that, hey, we're changing things and we're moving things. And it would be great to, God, where do you want us to be? Where do you want us to be? Where do you want a church to be? Where do you want this little group of people to be? And when we find that place, that you'd really empower it and change your hearts. So I thought it was the first thing we can pray for here as praying for our church. Now, I'm going to ask you guys, what else do we pray for our church? Are there things we should pray for? Individual things? Anything jump off the page? Okay, let me do this. Mike got a job. Yeah. That is a blessing. It's closer. That's what I expected people to say. We need, there are people here that are looking for jobs. Let's pray for some jobs. Amber's looking for a job. Andrew's looking for a job. Lots of people looking for jobs. Let's pray for them. That'd be a good thing to pray for. What about health things? Are there some health things that we could pray for? Kim? Kim says, me always. Pray for Kim's health. What was that? Headaches for the Clays or for Nate especially. Okay. That's true. Yeah, I think there are several couples here that want babies. We could pray for that. That's a good one. Babies, headaches. Timo, it's so encouraging to see Timo actually here. Timo's foot that heals well, and that he doesn't get too depressed in the process. Pray for my children's eyes. That could affect a lot of their life. It could affect a lot of their life for good. God used it to affect a lot of their life for sort of bad, but God could use it to affect a lot of their life for good. I won't get into specifics, but just keep praying for our kids. Anything else in health or other things we could pray for? Our church. People want houses. Life continues to grow and bless. That's good. One of the things I was thinking was Maddie and Elena and Sean are in Nebraska. Sort of trying to learn about the Christian life and hanging around people that can help them. And I'm sure God is challenging them. And even just the circumstances are challenging. If I might be mistaken here, but I think Elena is living in a basement with 11 other girls. All right. Elena's 17. That's right. Okay. Okay. Well, if we talk too much more, we won't have a message because we'll just have too many things to pray for. But there are churches that spend a meeting a month at church just praying and worshiping. And we won't spend our whole time here, but there are things to pray for, and there are things to pray for in our church and in our community, and I just think it would be just that God would be pleased if we just took some time to pray. And that worship set was, in one sense, better than a teaching. And so I think we're all encouraged to spend a few minutes praying here. And then I do have just an encouragement and a message that I think will just be a blessing and an encouragement. I want to get there too. So, whoa, look at this. Great. Okay, so this is how we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Anybody can pray. We're just going to jump in and pray. And this is how I want them. Look at me. I want them short. I want them passionate. And I want them full of praise. Present our supplication to God with thanksgiving. Right? That's our Memory Matters verse for today. Okay. Fun. Okay, I can start us. God, we believe you are in the midst of this people. And we believe, God, that you are a generous-hearted God and you want to bless. And I ask that you would answer all these prayers for our good. And thank you that we know as we pray to you that you are a God that gives favor to us. But Lord, there are so many things. Lord, we could pray, God, in our church, for our church, God, marriages and children and life and understanding from your Spirit and God, so many things, God, but we understand, God, when God, that you can bless. God, and we may not be, God, the most sinless people in the world, the most hardworking people, God, the most anything. God, our hearts can be all over the place. God, but we know, God, but we know where blessing comes from. It comes from you. God, every good gift comes down from our Father, and you are our Father. And we pray that you would bless us together here. And we pray that, and we thank you, God, for that you have blessed in so many ways. Thank you for these few minutes to pray, and I thank you for the hearts of these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. This, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, that was a great 10 minutes, wasn't it? Just a good use of 10 minutes of our service. Okay. I should have prayed for my message at the end of the time, but well, sure. Sure, I'll pray. And could you make that go away, please? Make that go away. God, I thank you for your truths. God, we want to know them and live them. God, we want. God, I do not want the tragedy that you have communicated things, God, that to change my life. And bless them, but we were never able to walk into them. I was never able to walk into them. God, what a tragedy. God, they never believed the things you said. God, you have given things to us better than we think. God, so, too good to be true, really. And yet God, I want to believe them. God, I want to put my eggs in that basket. God, that what you said is true. God, I thank you for. God, I thank you for the messages we've had here. God, that talk about you. God, I thank you for your heart. I thank you for your heart and mayhem. May the things that are true, God, for us, God, that we may know in our head, I pray we live them in our heart. This morning, God, help that process. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Ask you some questions. Is the Christian life, would you say, is really hard? And don't answer out loud. I appreciate our audience participation normally, but you can't answer all these questions out loud. You just these are rhetorical for you to think about in your own spirit. I would normally agree with that answer, so I'm not. But these questions will go somewhere. Is it hard in the fact that it is, in your soul you go, it is hard to stay in the good favor of God? I mean, is it exhausting to keep God really excited about you? Right? Is that hard? Do you ever feel like God is angry with you? Or fed up? Where he's sort of folding his arms and sighing about you. You think God wishes all the time that you got it right more often? Do you keep your distance from God after you sin for a while? Because God needs a little time to warm up to you again? Or do you try to work back into His good graces? Do you ever just give up relating to God for a while? Just go, man, this is hard, this is exhausting, I'm not going to relate to God anymore, I'm going to take a break. I can't do it. Is your repentance just a renewed effort to please God or energy to relate to Him? Are you motivated by trying to gain God's acceptance or by guilt? Now, if you answered yes to any of these questions, if any of these things are sort of, this is sort of me, I sort of get this, then there's a cure. And that cure is basically Romans 5. A little bigger than Romans 5. It's just a part. Romans 5 teaches that we are under God's gracious favor all the time. And that is regardless of my performance, and it's only because of the performance of Jesus. And so you can rest in God's favor, not fight for God's favor. And that is freeing. It's really free. So Eddie, what was in the envelope? She looked. There's $100. Okay. So I said in this envelope is $100 for anyone who claims it. Eddie claimed it. Now, I want to talk about this for a second. If I hadn't claimed it, let's say last Sunday you came in. And did anybody offer you $100 last Sunday at church? No. Is there any way for you to walk in church this morning and make $100 in your life a reality? No, there isn't any way you can do that outside of my generosity. You guys didn't come in having earned it. Right? You didn't come in sort of being worthy of it. You didn't walk in thinking, you know, I'm sort of worthy of $100 this morning. I wonder what's going to happen. It exists. The $100 existed because I decided to give a gift. Now Eddie's not worthy of it. Now, he believed me. He claimed it, but only after I offered it. Only after I offered it. He couldn't make it happen. So this is not about you. This is about the giving. It's about the gift. It's about the generosity. That's what it's about. And so two things are needed for me to give away $100. One is, I have to have $100. Right? That's the power. I have to have the power to do it. And two is, I have to have the desire. Right? I have to want to give you guys my $100. The desire and the power. And that, I would say, is the definition, or one definition of grace. Would be the definition I heard from Dave McGill. And I like lots of definitions of grace. When I was a college student, I had a Word document filled with different definitions. And that is a good one. God's power and desire to do you good. That's grace. Now, what is Romans 3:23? Anyone know that verse? Yeah. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What a bummer verse. What's Romans 3:24? And are justified freely by his grace. Okay. Now you guys are all Bible scholars. You guys have all heard sermons before. What does justified mean? Justified, not sinned. Any others? To make just, right? Bang. Yeah. There's the guy in law. If you have a law term, ask the guy in law. Acquitted. Acquitted. To declare righteous. Right? It's like you go to court to judge your character, and the judge says, you're righteous. It signals acquittal. Person is declared right before God. They're vindicated. And I'll one-up your definition just as if I'd never sinned. I like the just as if I did everything right. Because Jesus didn't just not sin, he did everything right. And I like it. But it's declaring. So I'm gonna read you Romans 3:23 and keep reading here, and you're gonna tell me something. Or I'm gonna tell you a key word here. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The redemption. Now, when I use the word redemption, we think about it in a religious sense. But at the time, and to a Jew, they thought about it in the slavery sense. So if you were to redeem someone out of slavery, you buy them out of slavery, they're not a slave anymore. Right? So I just read, I'm reading through Exodus, and God's given the law, and he says, hey, if you've got this slave or whatever, and he's saying, hey, the person, like if you sell your daughter into slavery, or you sell your kids into slavery because you can't pay your debts, and so, or yourself into slavery, there are processes which you can be redeemed out of slavery, right? You can be bought out of that place to the other place. And so justified means you're free to go. Right? You're declared righteous. You're free to go. You're free. You're not a slave anymore. And I like that because when you're a slave and you get redeemed, do you get redeemed by having really good moral character? Right, by growing and doing right things and becoming wonderful or good or upright or any of those things? No, not at all. Something out of your control buys you out of that, and now you're free. You're just in a different. It just everything just changes for you. And we are justified through that redemption. God bought us out. Okay, now, some of us would say, yeah, I'm justified, but I still imagine God saying, can you imagine God saying, yeah, I know you're technically justified, but I'm really angry at you for what you did today. You guys imagine God saying that? Because we do. Because we do things wrong, we imagine wrath from God because it's right for him to have it. We imagine anger from God. We see that God that way because God doesn't like sin. We sin and we go, oh, God is fed up. And we put that on God. But all that anger from God, all that wrath, all that fed upness, right, we all know this, went on Jesus. It all went on Jesus, all of it. There's no leftover anger coming my direction. There's not leftover fed upness coming my direction. There's not leftover arm crossing coming my direction. And if all that went Jesus' direction, what's left for me in God's heart? Love? Compassion? Affection? And he always treats me with gracious favor. Always treats me with gracious favor. He's looking to work out everything for my good and even loves me so much, he'll discipline me so I don't ruin my life with sin. Okay, now we get to Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All right, this is Romans 5:1. God is at peace with us. Do you feel it? The harmony that you have in relationship with him, that harmony, can you drink it in? Can you rest in it? When it says justified by faith, you know what I read there? Do you believe the money's in the envelope? Do you believe God actually wants to give it? Do you believe me when I say whoever wants to claim it? There's peace. And I like it. Once you get it, we rejoice. We exult. Once I've obtained access, once I have peace with God, the response is I exult, I rejoice. There's when we get it in our heart. Okay, here, 1 John 2, my little children, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Propitiation just means God's wrath was turned away by an offering. Something had to happen to secure a friendly meeting with you and God. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus' life and his death on the cross. And now you get a friendly meeting with the deity. And this verse really encourages us to, or the verse before really encourages us to stand in the grace of God. I get to stand in my justification. Hey, you're righteous. Stand in it. Know it. Live there. But I like this verse because this verse says, my justification is maintained. That part is just maintained by Jesus. It's given in gracious favor. It's maintained. God's friendliness, his favor in his face when I meet him every day is maintained
by the advocate, Jesus Christ.
So it's given freely, maintained freely.
And that's Romans 3:24. It's freely. It's a gift. And so,
you should take that money. You should take that joy. What would that do to your joy? Would that do to your joy that God would have favor like that to you all the time? To know that Jesus had the power and the desire to do you good. And that never changed. Man, it would change things. Man, it could change things. Life would come. It would be more life in your soul, wouldn't it? That's how I think about it.
Here's one.
For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest.
This verse has always been a little wordy.
Here's what it means. There's a message. There's $100 in an envelope. And most of you guys didn't get it. You didn't get it. There was time, but you didn't get it. It didn't benefit you. You didn't get any profit. That's what it says. There's a message. If they didn't hear it, they didn't get any benefit. They didn't get any profit from it. Because they didn't unite it with faith. Because they didn't believe that I was that generous. That there was actually $100 in it. But if you believe it, you get the profit. And what's the profit here? What's the benefit? Rest. For we who believe enter a rest. That God is at peace. That God is favorable to us.
Okay, we'll keep going. I like this. So take the money. All right, Matthew 11:28.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Is the Christian life an impossible set of expectations for you? They're just impossible to meet. All these expectations, all this stuff I have to do, all this stuff God wants me to do. I've got to take my thoughts captive, and I got to do stuff with my money, and I've got to have quiet times. These just expectations, and I can't really meet them all, but I can't drop them because they're too important to drop. And so I just live under this burden of expectation. Of expectations. I never have to do a moment's labor to gain or maintain my justified status before God. You don't have to do a moment's labor to gain or maintain peace with God, righteousness with God, favor in the eyes of God. And because we're now freed from that burden, you're free to put your energy toward your relationship with Him. Enjoying Him. You can just enjoy Him. You're free to put your energy toward pursuing holiness. You're free to put your energy toward ministering God's amazing grace to others. Because you're freed from a burden.
I like this one. No, going back.
And to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness.
That's what I just said. You don't have to do a moment's labor. Does not work to gain or maintain. If you want to not work and believe that favor from God, it's counted as righteousness. That kind of favor that God can bring. Okay, now we'll go up to Romans 5 again. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. I want you to picture that you're a young woman living in your house. And your dad decides to go to Vegas. And your dad decides to go to Vegas, and he loses more money than you think is humanly possible. And all of a sudden, you guys are wildly in debt, and your whole family, and your life is completely impacted. There are things that you can't do that you used to be able to do. And you had a house, but you don't have a house anymore because I got taken from you. And you are in serious debt, and it weighs on you, and it weighs on your family, and it makes you guys slaves. And you live with a pretty crappy grown-up life. Because of your dad. And then, a very, very rich man, the richest man in the entire world, decides that he wants to marry you. As you grow up, become 18, he says, I'm going to marry you. And so the richest man alive comes in, and his wealth is way more than whatever debt your dad had racked up. And so all of a sudden, it's gone. Right? He walks into your house and takes money and just goes, phew. And it's gone. Through one man's sin, one man's trespass, led to condemnation. It led to slavery. It led to evil. And it came through your authority, Adam, our forefather. And through another, one man's act of righteousness, right, the money that he had earned, he comes in, many will be made righteous. You'll be made free by the riches of the grace of Jesus Christ. And see, both of those things are they're not, it doesn't have much to do with the daughter at all. Right? Those are other things. All she has to do is believe he actually loves her. All she has to do is believe he actually is rich. She just has to walk into it. Somebody came to tell her the news. This guy's rich and is interested in you. And that's the news of the scripture. Now, the richest man who ever lived had $400 billion, inflation adjusted. So let's say this dude lived 100 years. What's $400 billion divided by 100? Somebody who's good at math. $4 billion. You'd have to spend $4 billion a year from age 1 to age 100 to spend that much money. What about interest? What if you made 1% interest? How much is 1% interest on $400 billion? $400 million on 1% interest. Like, that's incredible. Now, somebody do something crazy for me. Somebody, like, let's say I lived 100 years. How much money would I have to spend in a day to get rid of it all? You can't do that? I pulled out my calculator before the message, but I couldn't even put $400 billion in the calculator that's on my smartphone. My calculator is not that smart. Every day of my life? For 100 years. Okay, $300 million a day. Could you spend $300 million a day? Like, could this guy conceivably even spend all his money? $300 million a day. Like that's not even 1%, right? 100% was 400 million. 4 billion? Sorry. Anyway. Huge numbers. Now here's the question. If you had $400 billion, here's the question. Should you go to Vegas? Hey, let's go to Vegas. Let's live it up. Let's party. Let's bet on something. Wouldn't the Super Bowl be way more fun? Eddie goes, no, it would not be. It's not stressful, Eddie. You can't spend all your money. Here's why I say this. It's this next verse. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Listen, grace abounds. Is God's infinite grace as big or greater than $400 billion? And the question here they have is, are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? I mean, should we just go to Vegas? That's the question. Because the idea is, you are not going to sin. You're not going to be able to spend all the money. You're not going to be able to sin to the fact that you get to the end of the grace. It just abounds all the more. It just keeps making 1% interest every year. You can't do it. And your righteous standard before God, your righteous standard before God holds firm regardless of your performance. Because the standing is based on the work of Christ. The standing is already bought in the grace. We just live in this ocean of money, of peace and favor and love that come from God. God is never stymied or frustrated or surprised by our failures and frailties. Grace overflows. See, on my worst days of sin and failure, this message, right? The gospel encourages me with God's unrelenting grace. And on my best days, when I feel useful, when I feel victorious, the same truths keep me relating to God on the basis of Jesus' work. I'm not rich because I earned anything. I'm rich because of the guy who married me. That's why. And so, okay, that's our time. But I'll just make a comment. If those questions that I started with just in our own soul, if you just sense, I'm quite living in this freedom, then what happens is we have normal ways of thinking and we can hear an encouraging message and then we go back to normal ways of thinking. But if that's you, renew your mind enough to change your way of thinking to what the truth is, to what God's way of thinking. And there could be lots of ways that you could change your mindsets and your habits. Reading things on index cards or listening to teachings or just reading book after book after book or something that's continuous enough that you can change what you think about. And changing what you think about is not easy because it's all patterned. But it happens. We do it all the time. I used to think about this when I brush my teeth, but now I think about this when I brush my teeth. And some of us never change. Right? Like, we thought about catching diving touchdowns while playing Frisbee when we were 10, and we think about catching diving touchdowns playing Frisbee when we're 45. But for most of us, it changes. And we can change it. We can change it. Okay. Well, I guess I'll pray for us. God, I don't know. God, I'm just humbled. God, it's a hard truth for us to get. It's a hard truth for us for me to share. God, I feel so inadequate. But God, I am. God, I want joy to reign in our hearts. And joy, God, comes to our hearts through the favor of God. And I pray that we would understand the spiritual riches we have in Jesus Christ. And I thank you for every one of those riches, God, whether we feel them or not, they're true. And I pray that you would help these truths, God, to change our life. In Jesus' name, amen.